The title of this session is Teaching Students Who Have Low Reading Levels. It does not say teaching students who can't read, because very rarely do we have people who can't read. But I'm really getting ahead of myself here. Let me back up and talk first of all about the attitude of the teacher, because I feel this is tremendously important when it comes to working with students. Yeah, we could say attitudes of the teacher. When it comes to working with students who have low reading levels, the attitude of the teacher has a tremendous influence on the growth of that student. First of all, accept them as they are today. I've said that before, but especially with low readers, accept them. Don't be frustrated.
Another person who can't read.
And also, this is important after you've been working with them for about 3 or 4 days when you're ready to tear your hair out. Don't pity them. Some of them will try to get you to do that. Oh, but I can't do this work. I can't read. Don't pity them. Just accept them the way they are and treat them just as if they, just like you treat all the other people. However, right along with that, don't say he can't read. Because rarely is that the case. Even if they have a first grade reading level, they can generally read at least 3 or 4 words. They can read only 3 or 4 words. Generally what they mean is they can't read what we give them to read. We give them the King James Version of the Bible, or we give them something else that's written at about a 7th, 8th, 5th, grade reading level, whatever, and they can't read that. But don't say he can't read. Just say, well, do you have a hard time reading? Yeah, I can't read. Okay, well, let's see how much you can read. And we've got some materials. We'll take a look at that. But, even a person in first grade, they can read a few things. Now, they can't read what they need to be able to read to function at a fifth grade reading level. But, and then I think another thing that's important is patience. Let me briefly explain what happened when I was working in Brooklyn, Teen Challenge. We had the classes divided into 3 levels. The top level was those who had above 7th grade reading level. The middle group was 5th or 4th to 7th. And the bottom group was 0 to 3. One particular time, there was only one student in the low reading level class. And Spanish was his first language, and he couldn't read Spanish, and he couldn't read English, and he could hardly even talk English. In fact, he didn't want to talk English. So I says, well, Jose, this class is in English, and I'm going to speak in English. And I says, if you want to get onto the farm, and I know you do, you're going to have to finish all these classes in English. Oh, but I can't speak English. I says, well, we'll learn. And so I sat down with him. And it took a little bit of patience those first couple weeks, because I broke it down and used just 4 or 5 words to summarize the main points of a whole lesson. And we'd go over it and over it and over it. And he finally would go, oh, yeah, okay. The end of the story is 3 months later, he was taking all of his tests in English and passing them. He was doing all of his homework assignments in English and passing them. Now, that's not the normal situation always, but he just needed to have someone work with him who was willing to say, hey, you can do it, and he could do it. Now, if I just says, oh, yeah, you can't read, and you can't speak English, maybe we can find one of the Spanish brothers that will sit down and read the Bible with you every night. And that's exactly where he'd have been 3 months later if he'd still been in the program, which he probably wouldn't have. So don't treat him special. Don't design their own program for them and say, well, you're special, so you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. I feel that it is important that we accept them, that we do not pity them, and don't give them special treatment. Now, by that, I don't mean that you make them do what everybody else is doing necessarily, but that you design an educational program for them, which is something that is practical for them. And whatever you say, don't say, he can't read. Don't even say it to other staff. I went into this one center, and the teacher said, Dave, we need something for those who can't read. And I says, oh, yeah? I said, who do you have here that can't read? He says, oh, this guy here. I don't remember what the guy's name was. Let's call him Mel. Mel can't read. I says, oh, that's interesting. Let's give him a reading test. Oh, well, he can't read anyhow. I said, well, let's give him the test anyhow. Gave him the test. He had a third grade reading level. And he could read quite a bit, come to find out. But he told him he couldn't read, so he got to sit there in class and just do whatever he wanted to. Or go up to his room and lay down. That's not how you bring about change in the lives of the young men we're working with. So your attitude is very important in working with those who have low reading levels. And the next thing that is so important to do is to evaluate the student. Now, we're in the process of providing you with some tools to do this. But to evaluate the student, one of the things that you can do is just ask them about their educational background. Now, in some cases, they've gone all the way to 10th grade, and they have a second grade reading level. This is particularly true in some of the urban centers. I know in New York City, this is very common to find a person who has a low reading level, and he's gone, you know, way beyond that as far as the number of grades. So just ask them about their educational background. Just talk to them about it. What kind of schooling did they go through? Where did they go to school? How long ago was it? And just get into a conversation about them. And that'll give you some idea of what has been some of their educational experiences, and then test them. Now, we hope within the next few months to provide you with a very short and simple test, which will give you a ballpark figure on their reading level. There are all kinds of sophisticated tests. That's not what we're interested in. We just want a very simple ballpark test. And basically, what we want to do is find out, do they have above a fifth grade reading level or below a fifth grade reading level? And if they have below a second grade reading level, that will also give you some special input on where to start them. If they have above a third grade reading level, they should be able to use the personal studies and the group studies. Now, maybe they say, well, I can't answer these questions. And what they really are saying is, I can't write long sentences like Joel does, who's been, you know, all the way through high school and can write a paragraph in 5 minutes. Okay, in that case, I'd say, okay, just put down, well, I don't know how to spell it. That's all right, just put it down the way it sounds, and just, even if you just put down three words, that's okay. Because the way you learn to write is by writing. So, evaluate them, or ask them about it, test them, and you may also need to, in some cases, have special testing done. And I would encourage you to check with one of your local universities or colleges. Many cases, or even the public schools, they have special diagnostic testing that many times they'll do for nothing. In Cape Girardeau, Missouri, they had a student who came. He was failing all of his tests and all of his work. So they had an arrangement with Cape Girardeau State School. Took him down there, tested him, found out that he was partially blind and partially deaf. Well, no wonder he wasn't getting anything out of his classes. So what did they do? They sent him home to get fitted for glasses and hearing aids. And you know what he did? He conned his doctor into believing that he didn't have any problem with his hearing and that he didn't even really need glasses either. There's a life-controlling problem there. And I don't know exactly what was the best way to handle that, but I feel that if we find out these kinds of things, that we need to make sure that we provide them or help them get what they need. If they need hearing aid, let's build up their self-image to the point where they can see that they're not a second-rate citizen just because they wear a hearing aid or glasses. And in many of your areas, the Lions Club, yeah, that's what it is, isn't it, Frank?
Yeah.
The Lions Club will help provide glasses for them. And I have been in centers, and it frustrates me to no end. The person has been there for a month or 2 months, and their glasses are at home. Nobody's had time to take him home to get his glasses. Now, maybe it is 50 miles away, or maybe it is, you know, something like that. But just one little thing like that can have a tremendous influence on their ability to grow. And I feel we need to give them every break we can, because they've already got so many strikes against them. So I would encourage you to do this. And also, if they do need glasses or whatever, is to provide glasses, or at least help them to get it set up, you know, so that they can get them. Now, maybe we can't afford to be, you know, paying $100 a week just for glasses. But, you know, if they do need glasses, let's see that they get them. Now, let's talk about the use of the materials. We are in the process of developing the Bible lessons, at least some of them, on two levels. And I'm doing a real good job here of giving you some samples. Lesson 1 and Lesson 101 are basically the same. I don't have 101 in this notebook. I took it out. But 101 is basically the same right now. It is, at least this is the second edition. The third edition, there will be bigger differences between the two. Lesson 101 has more difficult questions than does Lesson 1. And that is another thing about people who have low reading levels. Let me back up even beyond that. When you went to first, second, and third, and fourth grade, they did not give you essay tests. They gave you true, false, multiple choice, pick out the right one, maybe put in the missing word. Very simple questions as far as the design of that question. But once you get into fifth and sixth grade, they start giving you questions like, explain how, tell why. Those kinds of questions where you have to take ideas from your head and put them on paper. And those are what we call high-level questions. Essay questions are high-level questions. In public school, we do not give those to students who are below third or fourth grade, because their mental development, or their mental capacities, their mental reasoning power has not developed to the point where they know how to do that. And the same thing can be true of people who have very low reading levels. Age-wise, they may be up there, but skill-wise, they don't know how to do that. And so just because someone has a low reading level and you don't understand why they can't answer question number 3 on study sheet 1, which says explain the difference between these four words, that's because they don't know how to do that. Now, that's just something to remember as you are working with students who have low reading level. It may be that they will not know how to answer those kinds of questions. And so what you do is you just have them write down one or two words and then explain their answer to you in more detail. They can do it verbally, but they don't know how to do it on paper. But just one step at a time can help them. So what we are hoping to do, especially with the first two or three lessons, is to design them on two levels. The lower level will be at about a 2.5 reading level, second grade, second semester reading level, and the others are designed at a little above a fifth grade reading level. And the questions in the higher level, of course, will be a little more difficult. The scripture memory class can easily be used with students who have low reading levels. Your reading level does not affect your ability to memorize. And don't let anyone con you into believing that. I know you're not that kind of people that would get conned that way, but basically what they need is someone to work with them to show them how to do it. And the methods that are given in the Scripture Memory Student Manual are very appropriate. Now, again, when they go to fill out that worksheet, they say, oh, man, I can't do this. Okay, sit down, go over it verbally with them. Just discuss it with them verbally. Okay, once you do that, okay, now you sit down and go back and write down those ideas. Oh, but I can't spell the words. That's all right. Just write down one or two words that summarize the things that we talked about. And the more you do it, the better they'll get at it. The character qualities class can be done. Again, you may have to do it verbally to begin with, but work with them on it and place expectations on them. Now, the personal reading class can be done, but you may have to, instead of having them read books, even listen to Christian tapes. And there's a lot of good Christian tapes available today, besides sermons. You know, drive them up the wall if all I have to do is listen to sermons all day long. But have them listen to a Christian tape and take notes on it, just one or two words, and then maybe even summarize it to you verbally, their daily summary. Now, I want to take some time now and explain the remedial reading materials that are available for low-level readers. The prime resource that I would suggest for you has been developed by Literacy and Evangelism. And I'll give you the address. Four two zero two East 59th Place, Tulsa, Oklahoma. 59th. Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the zip is 74135. Literacy and Evangelism, 4202 East 59th Place, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74135. The series is called Firm Foundations. And you want the English? The cost? I don't have that figure right on the top of my notes here. It's less than $15 for the whole series. You do not need a set of books for every student. You only need one set of books. The books, they do not write in the books. There's six books in this whole series. One of them is a teacher's guide. And it breaks it down very simple. They also hold one-day seminars once in a while on this. And you can get the necessary training that way also. I would highly recommend that particular series for reading. Let me explain the format of this. With every new lesson, they introduce two new words, and they use a picture of that word to introduce it. And then there are some exercises here to work on, and the teacher's manual explains it. And then there's two stories. There's a story that is what I call a secular story, just for the sake of it. And then there's another story, which is why they call it Literacy and Evangelism, because it's a story that brings in biblical concepts. This one here says, a lot of men were with Jesus. They had to be fed. A lad let Jesus have five buns and two, and they have a picture of fish, two fish. With the buns and the fish, Jesus fed all of the men. Now, the reason why they use the picture for the word fish is because they have not introduced that word yet. And so they, with all of the stories, they are providing a gospel message, and it provides you with an opportunity to teach them how to read and yet also teach them some of the very basic Bible concepts, so that it is teaching them how to read and a tool for evangelism. And it's a very effective tool. Now, once you go through this with the student orally, you can sit down, or you can have them sit down and work through it as far as copying the stories over to work on their spelling and their comprehension. And you can take, this system starts with a person at ground zero. The first book is actually called a pre-reading program, and it's to teach you the 40 most common words in the English language. And these 40 words make up 40% of a person's total vocabulary. So if you know these 40 words, you can read 40% of everything that you'll need to read. Now, the problem is that the other 60% of the words won't make sense. You know, if this is all you know, you won't be able to figure it out just from not knowing the other 60%. But this is a good starting point. And if a person knows these 40 words, they're having in their hand some good tools. Now, the purpose of this is simply to teach someone how to read. It's not designed to teach you all of the grammar and spelling and English rules and verbs and predicates and all that stuff. That's not the purpose of this. It's simply to teach them how to read. And as they do that, they're going to be learning about subject and predicate, but there are some highly sophisticated remedial reading programs that cost hundreds of dollars and take years of time, but this is a very simple, practical tool. And let's say you have a student who has a third grade reading level. Do you start him with book one? No. What you do, let's say you take book two, and you open up and you have them read the story. If they can read the story easily, no problems, then you move on to the next story. If they can read that easily, no problem. Okay, let's go to book three. You go to book three, and all of a sudden they have a real hard time reading the story. Okay, back up one. Can they read that one? Yeah, okay, they can read that real easily. Okay, let's start right there on lesson 68. Fine. Then just take them from there. And very simple procedure, and all the lessons are designed exactly the same way, so you don't have to be constantly, as far as the teacher's point of view, it's a very simple procedure. And it's an excellent tool. I highly recommend it. By the time they finish that, they will have a strong fifth grade reading level, which will enable them to read pretty much anything. How long will it take a person to go through that? It all depends on where they start and how fast they are. Some students simply have not had someone work with them, and they have the ability, but they just don't have the skills. Others have limited abilities, and it may take them more time. Oh, okay. Now, these are also available in Spanish, and just to show you how much easier it is with Spanish, there are only two manuals, and they're much shorter, and because to learn the Spanish language is far easier than with the English language. So the cost for these, I think, is only less than a dollar or two. And these are designed the same format as the English ones, so that if you have a bilingual person, they could easily be used in that format. Now, there are some other materials that are designed for low readers or new readers. The American Bible Society has a series that they call Good News for New Readers. The American Bible Society produces these. They're Bible stories that are written in very simple English. They start, and I'm just guessing off the top of my head here, they start at about a second grade reading level, maybe more like a third grade reading level. But they give the Bible stories, and you could have them read those and even bring some variety into their reading, and also give them some more experience in getting into the scriptures. And I already mentioned the fact that there are a number of tapes available, and I don't have any with me today, but Harvest House Publishers, no, I think it's Vision. Well, it's either Vision House or Harvest House. I've got the materials that I can check with you later on that. They have produced a series of short books, and they have a tape that goes with them. Now, even just having them listen to that tape would give them a lot of good, you know, good stuff that deals with some practical stuff for new Christians. So working with students who have low reading levels can be a very demanding thing, but it is an area where we can have an effective ministry. I talked to one student in Brooklyn some months ago, and I asked him, he volunteered the information. I don't know, but anyhow, he said, the main reason why I came to Teen Challenge was to learn how to read. And 5 years ago, I'd have said, look, find another program. We're here to teach people how to be Christians. But I've changed my mind, because that's a life-controlling problem. And if we can help them with that life-controlling problem, we can have a disciple of Christ leaving a year later. And I talked to one of the students when I was experimenting with some of these materials in Brooklyn. He came in with about a second grade reading level, and we had him work through some of these lessons, and oh, talk about having patience. We really needed it, because every paragraph there was at least five words that he didn't understand. But I was talking to him at the farm, and at the farm they have a more sophisticated remedial reading program. It's a secular program, a very excellent one. But he took the New Life Testament, opened it up just at random, and started reading, and he was able to read very fluently. I was just amazed and very excited. And he was excited too. And he was a changed person. His self-image had changed dramatically, because now he could read. He wasn't a total failure. And so this can have dramatic, there can be some dramatic changes in their lives very rapidly if we can give them this tool in their life. And if you come across resources that are good for low-level readers, we're interested in knowing about them. Also, have them read comic books. Christian comic books, there's a lot of them around. At least they get something out of the pictures.
Dave, what do you think about using the supportive vote mechanism like tapes? I know we rely probably too heavily on that for our low readers. We need to incorporate a program like that. But for those low, we have had some that couldn't read at all. And since our remedial reading program isn't that developed, we have Big Brother, somebody sit down and read the lessons, and then the required reading books have all been put, the simple ones, on tape so they can listen to them. Do you think there would be a danger of relying on that too much so that they still top out in that in the reading skill? Do you have any thoughts about that, or have you seen it used anywhere else?
Well, I think it's an appropriate tool to use, videotape and cassette tape. But I'm very concerned that that may not be our only tool, because that isn't really dealing with the life-controlling problem that exists in their life. And sometimes we can provide too many tools so that they never really deal with the problem. So I would encourage you to develop a remedial reading program. It's going to take time. There's just no way you can get away from it. It's going to take time. Now, some of your older students can be trained to do this in some cases, but still you're going to have staff.
Older students can use this program, but also you might be surprised who's sitting around in the wings for retired school teachers.
Oh, yes.
Specialty. They have one in Riverside, California. She sent $2,500 to support my office. I want to know where could she use her talents. She says, I'm 64 and spry and retired. And I put her in contact with Riverside, and she's taking care of the reading problem. We had for years at the farm, the lady, this was her specialty, was remedial reading. And by the way, remedial reading, if you once get into it and gradually get your program set up, it can be a continuous self-teaching. You will find that most of your people are not good readers, and they can all use help to improve their reading skill. I had college kids, and they said, do I have to take English? I said, do you take Miss Bonser's test? And she says, you don't have to. I never had one of anyone pass. Now, it wasn't that she made that tough, but they thanked me because it improved their reading skill, and we want them to change their life and to solve their life-controlling problems. It's amazing what the self-image. Like, take Louis Garcia. He still struggles with it, but he could read nothing. The day he read the story of the birth of Jesus for himself out of that third grade reader, told the other guys are making fun of him. He stuck his backbone 2 inches and more and walked down. He said, I don't care. I can't read it. And it was a turning point as far as he was ready to leave the program a month after because he said, I've been here a month and you still haven't taught me to read. I said, well, society been working on you 21 years, didn't? Don't you think I'd give you more than a month? Because I guess I enjoy reading myself so much. But if a fellow can read, and if he's not learned any skills, he goes on a job, he can move up the ladder. He can read. If he can't, he's going to be stuck. And as a technological society goes on, he's going to get farther down the ladder, right back.